Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for the Nonprofit Snapcast. Very happy to be talking today with Cindy Thalen. Cindy is the president at Create Possibility. Are you with me, Cindy?
I sure am.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and tell us more about Create Possibility?
Sure. Well, I'm a recovering executive director. I was an executive director for 18 years at YMCAs across the country. And then, about 8 years ago now, I started a consultancy, as you mentioned, Create Possibility, where we really focus on working with nonprofit leaders so they can go from intention to execution. We're based in San Diego. We work nationally, and we focus primarily on developing strong boards as well as strategic planning.
Is strategic planning your mainstay, or is there other things that you do with boards?
Yeah, well, we work with, you know what I hear a lot? People call us when they say, you know, my board's not engaged, or I've got these issues with my boards, or we don't have any clear direction. And strategic planning and board development go hand in hand. They are not separate. So we'll work alongside nonprofits from 6 months up to a couple of years to help them work through the various issues that they may have. So when they come out the other side, they have a strong board of committed volunteers with a really clear direction, strategic priorities, and they're able to work much more efficiently and effectively going forward.
I have to ask, how has your practice changed since the start of pandemic? How are you getting boards and nonprofits ready to look at 2021?
Yeah, well, it's been interesting, right? It's been tricky. I mean, our business, since we always worked nationally, we had always had some virtual component to our business. As nonprofits got slammed, like everybody else, with not just a pandemic, but an economic crisis, and more recently, this tension around racial injustice, boy, they've been adapting and being creative and innovative and facing all kinds of challenges. And so we've been there as partners and expanded, you know, our services to them, because let's face it, it's kind of hard to focus long-term and do strategic planning when you're just trying to get through the day or the week or the month and make sure that your organization is still viable.
Yeah.
So we've had to adapt, as has everyone else.
Right. I mean, and there's so much uncertainty in front of us. As I was, you know, saying to people recently, it's like it's hard to plan for 2021 when the phrase "I don't know" is at the end of nearly every question you ask.
Indeed.
So how do you do it?
So something that we've helped our nonprofits do is first, well, you know, there's like two phases. There was the immediate, oh my goodness, just weather the storm, right? And have an immediate reaction to mitigate risk. And then it was like, okay, let's try to find where there might be an upside and some opportunities that we can latch on to and turn this into a positive situation, even in many cases as demand is increasing, you know, tenfold. But what we've learned is to take a look at your current status and reflect for a minute. What have you learned? You know, ask yourself some key questions. If you start there by really sitting down and writing it out, saying, well, here's what we discovered about our strengths, you know, and maybe we've got really strong relationships with our donors. That's been great. Or what gaps have been uncovered? You know, maybe we learned that our board isn't as strong as we thought that it was, or we don't have any direction. You know, how did innovation and creativity show up? Maybe how have the needs of the people that we serve changed? You know, and what does it mean for your workforce? How did they have to adapt? What are the results of that work? So there's so many things to take a look at to determine where you are right now. And quite frankly, you know, I think we tend to stink at celebrating. This is an opportunity to do that too. You know, there's some things that have gone really well after the initial crush. You know, creativity I've just been so impressed with how some have, you know, figured out how to move virtually or adapt their services or deal with their workforce. So don't forget, as you're kind of reflecting on where we are now, to celebrate what's gone well too.
That's a very good point. I think that, pandemic tends to, as I've been saying quite a lot lately, pandemic tends to put a big magnifying glass on everything that's gone wrong already. And And so you're absolutely right. I think taking the time to acknowledge what's going well is good advice. So in our notes that you sent me, you mentioned the phrase that I think is pretty key, which is scenario planning. What is scenario mm-hmm. planning, and how do you get nonprofits to do that?
Yeah, I'll tell you, this is really the key to success. I can't say it enough. A, B, and C, plan for it all, because as we have learned, best laid plans. Ha, what a joke, right? So first, and BridgeSpan has a good resource on this. If folks want to look, take a deeper dive into the details of how to do scenario planning, I would say jump over to the BridgeSpan website. They've got a toolkit to help you, but there's really four steps that are outlined. And the first is to, you know, identify what your key drivers are in your business. What are those factors that keep you afloat that might become at risk? So is it in your enrollments? You know, do you have people signing up for your services, whatever that looks like? And that's a key driver probably. What about your business model and the finance side of it? What about the contributed dollars as a subset of that? What about staff capacity? You could shift to virtual and have some great ideas and not have the staff ready and able to deliver. So look at some of those key things, understand what your key drivers are, and then start developing scenarios too. Think about external factors, right? Are schools opening or are they staying closed and going virtual? If you have a key partner that, you know, you work closely with school districts, obviously that's going to affect your work. Look at, do you have the volunteers you need or not? You know, this pandemic has affected the ability for volunteers to engage, and particularly those ones that are at risk, they're choosing not to engage in, even if they could. So what about scenarios where you have volunteers, you don't have enough volunteers? You know, is a vaccine going to be developed in the first quarter of next year and be widely available or not? Are we still going to be surging? So you've got to think about what those different scenarios are that could affect your business, and then create a portfolio of actions that you will take, right? Both short term and long term. Yeah. So if schools go back, here's what we'll do. If schools remain closed, here's what we'll do, right? And again, for A, B, and C, schools will reopen at some point, depending on where you are in the country, they could be opening right now. Some may be January, some may not be till next spring. So what are the actions that you're going to take? What's your plan going to look like if you've got to remain virtual longer, and et cetera? You know, it forces you, I think, to re-examine some of your assumptions too. So those are kind of the first three steps. Identify your drivers that might be at risk, develop some scenarios, create the actions that you will take. And the fourth one I think is really important to get clear about is determine what your trigger points are going to be. So if part of your action is going to be to, you know, shut down a program if this A, B, or C happens, determine when that is. Are you going to stop spending money when revenue goes below 10%, for instance? Or are you going to shift to virtual or stay virtual permanently if your enrollments grow at a certain pace? What we found out is that some nonprofits actually, I'll give an example of an organization that tutors after school kids. Schools are closed. However, they can still do some portions of their tutoring online. Well, as soon as school districts got wind of this, their ability to scale went nuts, because now we've eliminated the local requirement of in-person tutoring. If they can do it online, they can actually do tutoring for school districts in different states and so forth. So, you know, keeping those opportunities in mind for the different scenarios are important, and it allows nonprofits to adapt quickly when you've prepared in advance with all that, without as much anxiety and chaos as we all experienced this year.
Oh man. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, scenario planning, it sounds like a lot.
It can be a lot.
Yeah.
And when you do it right, and when you incorporate other people in the conversation, it's going to set you up for success. It actually becomes empowering and inspiring. The thing to remember is that there's key areas to look at. So if you break it down, there's really kind of five areas I think that matter most. Mm-hmm. And depending on the business and the organization, you know, I'm sure they could have other things to add perhaps, or some of these are more important than others. But procedures and policies. We've now been in this situation for months. We have had to adapt some of our policies already, especially as it comes to HR, right? They're being for us in some cases. But what about cybersecurity? You know, do you even have anything related to that? The safety protocols for the pandemic. Let's make sure what's in writing matches what we need. And by the way, talk to your insurance carriers. They need to be your BFFs, because some of these insurance companies are increasing premiums while reducing what they'll cover. So taking a, and that's, you know, your board should play a role in that too. Get some of them involved in taking a look at policies and procedures. People is, you know, this is our greatest asset, let's face it.
Yep.
So, you know, taking stock of your board and what do you need to do with your board? Is it where you need it to be? Do you need to rebuild your board? It is a great time, actually, to recruit board members right now, because there's plenty of folks who don't have time on their hands because maybe they're homeschooling and they're doing all these other, working from home and doing a lot of other things. But there are also people who have time on their hands, and everybody really wants to help. They're leaning in. So I wouldn't overlook that as a possibility. But, you know, also when you're looking at people, your employees, what is this working from home thing going to look like long term? You know, and I think something that folks are forgetting about, are there stakeholders? They're taking good care of the folks within the organization, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But your stakeholders, the rest of those people who might be your donors, your volunteers, your partners on different programs, elected officials, you know, bring these people to the table as you're doing your scenario planning and prepping for 2021, because not only will they be great thought partners and, you know, think of things and ideas that you might not have, but some of these are going to lean in and really engage and do some of the work alongside you. I have another organization who's realized that advocacy work is going to be super important for them. This, you know, legislation is changing weekly, yeah, and they need to influence it. So as they were talking to one of their corporate partners and they were talking about advocacy, this woman just apparently, you know, sat up straight and said, wait a minute, tell us more about that. And now this corporation, who's a fairly big company in town, is going to, has offered to and wants to get engaged in advocacy work with them. You know, so you just never know what it can lead to, but don't try to do it alone. Make sure that those folks who already know about you and care about you are at the table with you.
Right.
So as far as the areas, you know, I talked about policies and procedures and people, the money side, I mean, let's face it. Cash is king, still is, and it's going to be for a while. And it's tough because nonprofits, we will, on the other side of this, we will not have as many nonprofits as we did before. Some simply aren't going to make it. But you know what? If you're an organization on the edge and you've done scenario planning, you're already thinking about, okay, if we don't make it, maybe who can we merge with? Or are we just going to shut down completely? Who do we trust to take over our operations if we need to? Those are big questions. And in the meantime, be focusing on, you know, diversifying revenue sources and all the things we learned already in terms of line of credit and reserves. Take a hard look at your philanthropy. You know, there was, I don't know what you heard, Mickey, but in the beginning, you know, I heard a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, money's completely shut down. Our donors are so impacted. They can't help us anymore. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I think what we've learned is, and indeed, in many cases, philanthropy increased, right? For those organizations, particularly that had really strong relationships with their donors, for those that could, they gave more. Or they gave sooner. For those that could, they're giving more on a regular basis, maybe through monthly giving, you know? So
I've heard of some instances where people would take their stimulus checks and simply hand it over to their favorite nonprofit.
Yeah, I heard about that as well.
Yeah.
Great example.
But I mean, you're echoing things that we've said here on the Snapcast before, you know, and in terms of, you know, step up the stewardship and by all means, do not fire your fundraisers, you know, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm going to take a step back here and try to encapsulate what we're talking about. And please tell me if this is too reductionistic, but I think, I think what we're talking about is strategic planning. It's just strategic planning with the lens on a possible impending disaster, right? Which which frankly continues to unfold around us. But it's like it is strategic planning. However, it's now strategic planning with an eye on different contingencies, right? It's no longer here's what we're going to do in 2021. It's here's what we're going to do in 2021 if this happens. And if it doesn't happen, what's plan B? And if that doesn't happen, then what's plan C? And that's what scenario planning is, I think. And tell me if that's wrong.
Right. No, I agree. And I think people will tell you that, well, strategic planning looks out further, you know, 3 years, 4 years, something like that. And I would say yes. Currently, when you're doing scenario planning, to your point, this scenario planning is going to help you plan beyond 2021 as well. I'm doing strategic planning right now. We had paused some projects and we're picking them back up, but we're looking heavily at this first year. And you know what's going to happen in 2021, we do the same thing again. Then we, you know, pause, reflect, adjust, and move forward in planning for the next couple of years as well. But you're absolutely right. It's the same components that are going into this planning, you bet.
Yep. Very cool. Cindy, I know we could talk about this forever. I secretly hope you're writing a book on the topic.
Giving me extra work to do, are you?
we're rapidly running out of time for this episode. Sure. If a listener wanted to be in contact with you with any questions, how would you suggest they get in contact with you?
They can reach me most easily through my website, which is possibility-cp.com.
Excellent. And I know we're going to circle around here and do a second episode in a second. And I got to thank you for taking the time for making this particular episode with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To our listeners, thank you as always for joining us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating via whatever mechanism you use to listen to the Snapcast. Your 5-star ratings make us more findable by search engines, and we are grateful to you for helping us grow our audience. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.